Hades is a game where you will learn as you play, and we strongly recommend experiencing your early runs on your own to enjoy everything without spoilers for the first time. This podcast will assume you have reached the final boss, unlocked all the weapons, and met all the characters. Any additional spoilers will be disclosed in the episode. Thanks for tuning in. Hello, and welcome to Hidden Aspects, a podcast about Hades. I am your host, Ridiculous Hat, and this week, joined by friends of mine, Twitter mutuals, gamer friends, people that actually make video games, we've got Cynthia, and we've got Hypo. How's it going, friends?
It's
good. How are you?
Going.
It's going all right. It's the weekend. It's November 14th. I guess that's an exciting day. I don't know. Doing okay. Doing all right. It's getting cold here. We'll be getting to know our friends in a little bit, but you can get to know everybody by following our social media accounts, in addition to following us on whatever podcast platform you like. Check us out at Hidden Aspects on Twitter and join our Discord. The link is in the show notes and on our Twitter profile. All right, let's get to know Cynthia and Hypo here. So, Cynthia, I'll start with you. What's your background with gaming in general? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, God. Sure. Well, how far back should I go?
As far back as you want. Tell us interesting things.
Well, I guess I started gaming at a pretty young age. I think one of my earliest memories is playing Diablo 2 with my siblings whenever they would come back home from college, so like for winter breaks or Thanksgiving breaks or what have you. So I have very fond memories of playing games during the holidays. And then when I was in college, I started getting into Hearthstone. You know, kept playing games. Eventually landed a PR internship for Blizzard. Then I came back the next year, and here we are. And now I support Hearthstone and Overwatch and Diablo, so it's all fun.
Living the dream, going from the gamer in all of life into working for the AAA company that you grew up on.
Oof.
Wow.
Oof.
It's exciting. What about you, Hypo?
It is.
Yeah, so pretty similar story, actually. Just started gaming at a young age. Pretty much games all through like middle school, high school, mostly Flash games, actually. And got really into the independent game scene for a while. But I didn't think I was going to work on games. I just thought I was going to go into some computer science field, some sort of typical engineering job. And then after undergrad, I didn't know what I was going to do. So I was like, okay, I'll go into grad school for making video games. And after grad school, eventually made my way to Blizzard as a client engineer on the Hearthstone team. So a lot of my gaming is really vast and varied. So I don't really have like one track that I pay attention to. I'm more of like, I'll play everything that's on the market right now. It's all really cool stuff. So yeah, more or less how I got here.
Omni gaming, that'll do it. Yeah, it's and it helps that, well, this year has a lot of great products and a lot of time spent indoors. So shout out to Animal Crossing.
Thank you, Animal Crossing, in March.
Thank you, Animal Crossing.
Hades is my game of the year, but Animal Crossing is the game of 2020, and it's pretty hard to like draw that line. But if Animal Crossing hadn't come out in March, I don't know what would have happened to this country. I have no idea. Or the world. My wife is laughing in the background. Fair. She's played 450 hours.
Ooh, same. About like I'm up there in the 500s now.
Yeah. Oof. Ooh, that's commitment. So I'm going to spin back a question. It's not in the show notes. Sorry, Pierre. So how has making games changed your perspective on games from an engineering perspective, Hypo? Like, do you see anything different now that you see the Matrix?
Something like that. Like, not so much like see the Matrix, but like I get really obsessed with how people make the games. Like, games like Hades are extremely polished, and like that's the level of polish that I think any engineer would aspire to. And it's just really cool seeing how they implement basically everything in the game. Since I work on Hearthstone, which is a card game, a lot of the mechanics are very different from like a fighting game, an RPG game, and you don't see those mechanics really cross over genres that much. So it's really interesting seeing like how they build such a clean, code base and a clean foundation, and everything just seems so perfect. I would love to peek into the code base, honestly.
Yeah. And also the difference between working on a constantly live, always on game versus a packaged product. Like, yeah, the phrase legacy code base is a difficult one to come to terms with at times. So, you know, big respect for your work there. And I guess this question is kind of for both of you, but since I'm going to spin it to you, can you imagine working on a team where the entire company is 21 people? Because that's how big Supergiant Games is.
Like, yes. I don't know. I think I was thinking about that the other day, actually. So I was sort of on a YouTube wormhole.
Did you find the documentary? The NoClip documentary?
Oh, no, actually. But I was looking at their video showing, like, showcasing everyone who voiced everyone. And there's quite a few people who, like, took on several roles, which I think is super cool. And I think that's also something that's probably more unique to a smaller company, right? Like, Darren Korb, like, wow, music, wow. But also Zagreus.
And Skelly.
So I just think that's really cool. And something that I think you would only see in this sort of scenario.
Yeah. I have to imagine that there's just a different world when everyone kind of just picks up whatever pieces they can. I was watching the NoClip documentary, and Darren Korb bought an electric drum kit and brought it home so he could play the drums for the track at home to match the guitar track he'd recorded at work, because he does all the performances and all the songs, in addition to composing the songs, in addition to mixing the songs, in addition to voicing Zagreus and Skelly, and also is the singing voice of Orpheus.
Yeah, like, what is... There's so much talent.
That's one
so
person.
People.
That's,
yeah.
That's one... It's a single... Yeah, it seems unfair. I'm honestly, like, kind of upset about it, but, like, it's okay, because Hades happens.
It's fine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's okay. And meanwhile, I don't know if you've paid attention to how they patch Hypo. They patch a lot all the time, constant iteration. Like, the idea of a team this nimble is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's been really impressive, honestly. I think their whole pipeline was really smart. Like, when they've been in beta for a really long time now, but, like, every single patch drop for the beta was just a solid vertical slice. Every single one was really clean, and I think it was a really smart way to, like, gather feedback, balance the game, and then do it all over again. It was like a new game every time they patched. Really cool. And now they're even continuing to iterate and drop more patches and rebalance the game. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's a rare treat. And I guess we're coming roundabout in a way. How did you two find out about Hades?
I think for me, I've been following Supergiant Games for a while now. So I've played Bastion, and then I played Transistor. Then I played, the name's slipping.
Pyre?
Oh, yeah, Pyre. Yeah. So, like, I think Pyre was the first game of Supergiants that I was just like, this is a really interesting mechanic. And I'm really shocked that they took the narrative and the gameplay and tied it together in such an interesting way. And so, like, that's really what grabbed my attention first. And then they did it again with Hades. And since, like, by then, Supergiant had already made their name as, like, an indie company that tied together narrative and gameplay really, really well. So I was like, okay, Greek Gods, really good company, sure, I'll give it a shot. And it was just instantly addicting. I think that was, like, even though it was still in beta, it was one of my favorite roguelike games.
Yeah, and there's a lot of competition there. And then Pyre was well-made, really weird. Like, it's this super high fantasy concept and also sports.
Yeah, it's like some weird basketball kind of thing. I don't know. It was really interesting, though. Like, they just invented a sport and made a whole story around it.
Yeah.
Sure.
And also relationship management on top of that. Yeah. Pretty impressive. Cynthia, what about you?
I've been trying to think this entire time how I learned about it. I think I want to say when it went into early access, I think I was kind of like, oh, cool, this looks cool. Like, the art style seems up my alley. Greek Gods. I was like, yeah, this seems really cool. And then it totally slipped my mind until September when it released. And I think trying to remember who it was. Someone was like, are you playing Hades? And I was like, I'm not. Let me go look it up. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh yeah, this game. And then I was like, well, it sounds like fun. I think I'd really enjoy it. And then, well, sure enough, here we are. Many, 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 many escape attempts later.
Yeah. So. It's so hard to dial in who was talking about it, because there was this kind of social media explosion right when it came out, where it felt like the entire world converged on this one thing happening at that one time. And in our Hearthstone sphere, it was everybody. It was everybody was just posting pictures of their victory screens. There's something about the roguelike formula and card gamers that really seem to mesh, combined with also game developers. There are a few of our friends that you all work with on Team 5 that have either been playing it for a while, or even there's someone over in the WoW team that has played a lot. And I know that their Twitter caught my attention because they were like, oh yeah, I've cleared 32 heat a bunch of times. If you want hit tips on how to get better, here's how you do it. And I said, yes.
Oh yes, my God.
But yeah, like I think like part of the appeal is just that Hades, like a lot of the other games like Hearthstone and like even like computer engineering, it just feels like a puzzle to solve. Like, what is the most optimal build? How do I create my fun in this environment? Which feels really similar to Hearthstone in a lot of ways. And also just engineering in general, like how do I solve this problem? So I could definitely see why everybody in our crowd specifically immediately latched onto it.
I mean, that's also kind of why I figured I'd like it, because I mean, before I even got to Blizzard, dungeon runs were like a thing. I like loved playing the dungeon runs. And so I was like, oh, well, I'm pretty sure the odds are pretty high that I'm going to like this game if it's a roguelike. And then you add Greek gods and, well, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just done.
Pretty souls.
Perfectly, yeah. Perfectly animated and drawn Greek gods. And yeah. Slay the Spire, I think, stands out as kind of an early front runner in this genre. FTL, very popular. And Hades kind of built on top of that with a lot of of that Supergiant polish and the writing of Greg Cassavin. And well, the topic of the week, we're just going to spend, listener, if you're listening to this episode for high level gameplay advice, I do want to warn you, the topic of the week is gushing over the creative in this game. So just get ready for that and be emotionally prepared for how much fun it is to talk about the creative. But we're not going to talk about heat topics this week. Just make peace with that yourself. But we are going to spend some time on lightning round-ish questions, which we don't feel need to go that fast. All right. Favorite aspect. Cynthia, go.
Chill of chaos.
Chaos. Nice. It's, what do you usually try and put on it? Whatever you find. Yeah.
Whatever I find. I've recently, though, I've been trying to mess around centering around Poseidon stuff. Just can't let go of my one clear that had like four different duos on it. So every run I do is kind of like can I get four duos again?
Can you get that duo digger little
yeah.
victory screen? Yeah. What about you, Hypo? What do you gravitate to?
I typically gravitate toward Coronoct, but I've been trying to expand my interests and try to do other things, but I end up always falling back into Aspect of Heracornoct. It's just too fun, like having a lot of casts just stacked onto one single shot and blasting people. It's just too much damage I can't ignore.
The largest number, the engineering approach of how can I make number big and enemy go away?
Yeah.
And it really like it transforms the cast mechanic in a lot of ways, which is already kind of complex. And then it just say, how do you make a cast into a shotgun? How do you do that? Yeah.
It's lovely. I love it so much.
Okay. So this next section is going to go a little long. So we've got, this is two part topic. We've got favorite character and biggest crush. They don't have to be the same. They may be the same, but Hippo, you can just answer now. I know who it is.
I have a lot of answers. Okay. No, I'm not going to. Get back to me. I'm going to think about this a little longer.
Okay. All right. Hold you to that. Cynthia, favorite character, if you had to pick one.
Favorite character. The chef in the House of Hades.
Excellent answer. Probably the most correct answer. Go Chef is so good.
I just, every time I come back, I just stand next to the chef and just listen to him do the chopping and the swiping of the onions into the basket and then do some more chopping. Right.
There's a little flare in the air.
It's the best little, like, small ASMR moment.
It's just, like, peaceful, but also it's kind of hypnotic in a way. Apparently, someone at the Supergiant team at their last Halloween went as Ghost Chef, which I think is wonderful.
That's fantastic.
Perfect.
Yes. Perfect. All right, Hypo. You're up. You got to pick someone.
Same.
All right. I think favorite singular character would be Cerberus.
Okay.
Because he has the best interaction in which you pet him. And it's just... it's just so soothing. And like, I literally, like, I think my first like 30 runs or so, I like went back and pet him every single time. It was just like a ritual that I started setting up.
Wait, you don't do that anymore?
I go once in a while. I'm like 200 runs in. I have other things to do. Don't
you
shame
gotta
me.
Make time for the best boy. But I admit I do the same. I don't, not every run, most runs, but not every run.
Mm-hmm. No, okay. Every run. I think I'm 100 runs in. Every run.
I appreciate so your commitment. There is also, there's an achievement on Steam for petting the dog 10 times or more, and a bunch of people don't have it, and that really upsets me.
Yeah, very that's really upsetting. You gotta pet the dog.
No, y'all need to fix that.
Right? Yes. It's internet, you heard it here first, you have to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. But we have to admit that a big portion of our communal bonding around this game is how it is a thirst trap. And, Hypo, what is your Twitter profile name as of right now? Could you read that for the audience?
Let me pull it back up so I can get it exactly right. My Twitter handle right now is HypoLoves1(1) immortal entity.
Just in case that wasn't clear, it's exactly one.
Exactly one.
Which immortal entity is it, Hypo?
Of course, it is the immortal being known as Chaos, the originator of all.
Yes. And I didn't actually realize that Chaos was the creation myth of ancient Greece, but like it's the real creation myth of like Chaos is the thing that made the things. But what about this incarnation of Chaos spoke to you on a personal level?
I think something about like this mysterious being that just like appears out of nowhere and gives you like something that hurts you first and then helps you immensely later is just that the game mechanic itself was immediately appealing. But also when I played Hades in beta, that was actually the first major patch after like the initial launch that I played. And so I thought, okay, they added a new feature. Let's go check it out. And I saw Chaos and they were just this character that looked completely unlike any other character I've seen in any game before. They use they/them pronouns. You never see that. They were essentially forgotten by all the other gods, and now they're appearing to you in this form, this little godling who is trying to escape from his dad's house. Is everything about this immortal being that had way too much power to know what to do with appealed to me. They're just so gorgeous, so amazing, and they say things in such an eloquent way, but are, in a sense, saying absolutely nothing, and I really respect that.
And I love that Chaos, everything is so archaic in their speech, but one of the side quests is kill your dad holding this egg. It'll be funny.
Yeah.
And play hide and seek.
Yeah.
It's this bizarre, like, super highbrow, but also super elemental parts of well, I guess, humanity or godhood, as it were.
Yeah, there's like something really childish about them, but the way they speak, you would never tell.
They're also covered in weird faces.
I love it. It's good aesthetic.
All right, Cynthia, you're on the hook. But also,
I have to drink some water so we don't die of dehydration.
Yes, I want to share with the audience as well in the show notes. We have a bullet point here, Cynthia. You can just talk for a while. You can just go.
Here we go. Okay, so. The biggest crush question is both a question I adore and dread. Why? Why would you make me pick?
Okay, you can get the top three if you want. I understand the game makes it challenging. The game makes it very hard.
Top three is actually perfect.
It's very clear as well. The designers of the game made it clear that in ancient Greece, monogamy was not as much of a thing, and so we don't have to abide by those modern rules. It just wouldn't be fair. When in Rome, do as the Romans do, or in Greece, or hell, or whatever.
I actually gotta calm down my heart rate for a second. top three is perfect because it's just a constant toss up between Zagreus, Megara, and Thanatos.
And so the game has given you so much fuel. But yes. Also the entire other pantheon. I mean, there's that amazing reaction video of like, what is it, a bisexual playing Hades. That reaction video was amazing.
That was one of the most relatable videos I have ever seen in my life.
Same.
Yeah. We'll link that in the show notes, listeners. Don't worry.
But there was also that one Twitter thread of like what your Hades crush says about you. Also incredibly accurate. I often wish that we weren't playing as Zagreus and that we were playing as some general other main character so that we could then date and romance Zagreus.
I think what we're hearing is Cynthia is the red shade in the arena.
I am the good shade.
Okay, we appreciate your support because I may not always take time to pet the Cerberus, and I feel a little bad about it. I always take time for the supportive shade. Because
yes.
after dealing with Theseus, who's kind of a dick. Seriously, a dick.
Yeah.
He's just not a nice person. And Asterius, who's a good dude, but hangs out with Theseus for whatever reason. You just got to say hi to the supportive shade because he went out of his way to be there for you in a crowd of hostile shades that are all there rooting against you. There's just that one support that's always there. So Cynthia, thank you for being there.
You're welcome.
Yes. Also, what I'm hearing is Thanatos mode when? Thanatos mode? Do you want to be Thanatos?
That's also a good question. That's a good question. I actually haven't thought about that, but now that you've planted the idea in my head, I would like to see that. Because I would like to live life from Thanatos' point of view.
Like, where does he go when he poofs like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Where does he go?
What? And he just like randomly decides to pop in on you on a random room.
I love that he just like, I don't know, he has this whole arc of like being like your childhood friends, but you're angsty, and then like you left without me.
Ugh.
And like he heard from somewhere that you're leaving, and then he has to go find you again. Then the whole rekindling arc is just. He has a lot going on. He's like so emo and so dramatic. Like, yeah, I do want to see his point of view too.
there's so much that we could learn from his point of view.
Yes. And one could call him Sundiri. One could call him that if they wanted to.
He's definitely Sundiri.
Yes. Wow. He really is.
Yeah, that is how it was described to me by a mutual friend of ours, Hadija, and yes, I agree with them.
Hadija, not wrong.
Mm-hmm. No, they're a smart person. Okay. Switching away from thirst for a little bit. We'll get back to it later, I'm sure. If your comfort build, if you're saying, I don't really know what to do, but this weapon is glowing before bed, and you said you'd go to bed, but you just want to do one more run. So, Hypo, I'm guessing this is the bow for you. What is your go-to build?
I will probably always pick whatever's glowing, so whatever weapon. But I will probably also always try to get Artemis cast because it does so much damage. And it doesn't really matter what weapon I pick because I'm just spammy cast the whole time.
You just shoot the green missiles.
Yeah.
Well, Artemis has all those really awesome support boons, like if you can get Hunter's Mark and pressure points and support fire and all that. And it just feels like no matter what, yeah, little Artemis is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Artemis helps out. What about you, Cynthia?
Well, three of the four duos I got in that one duo digger clear. Okay, I need to think about this. One of them was Ice Wine. So it was Demeter and Dionysus. But then I also had Demeter and Zeus. I think that one's Cold Fusion.
Yes.
I think. And then I also had...
You had Scintillating Feast and Vengeful Mood.
Yes. So I find that a lot of the time I will go searching for those three duos.
Just to recreate the magic.
Just to recreate it, because holy moly, that, wow. It was kind of insane. And I just want to relive it. So now every time I think, just one more. One more run. That's usually what I try to go for.
This was on Talos too, so like you could zap some people from afar with the lightning cold wine and then yank them in and then hit them with the Vengeful Mood. Like, yeah.
It was good.
Well, that's good.
It was good. Now,
what enemy do you hate seeing? Your most hated?
Very good question.
I know what my answer is.
Go ahead, Ivo.
I don't know their names. I should probably learn the names, but it's the shield ones in Elysium.
Yeah, the shieldmen. Yeah, they suck.
They suck.
And especially on Bo, you try really hard to hit them, and then all of your damage is frontal, and then they block it all, and then you just wonder why they won't.
Yeah, die. All you hear is the plink, 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 and it's just like, all right, I guess I won't do damage today. This is fine.
Huh. I think it's the big chariots.
Oh, those suck. I hate them.
I don't like them.
Their movement
away.
Is so hard to predict, and like sometimes you hit them and they stop, and other times you hit them and they're like, I'm just going to keep on going. I'm just going to hit you right in the face.
And I'm like, no. No, you stop.
If you really look at them too, like the visual itself, they have teeth on the front too. And it's just like, why would you do that? Why would you slam your face into me? This is really rude of you. Please don't.
Please
little
stop.
Ones too.
Yes. Which definitely sound like cats.
They definitely do, because I was playing on the TV and my cat immediately was like, where are the other cats? I hear cats. Where are they? And she like went up to the TV and was like, I hear them. I don't see them. So yes, confirmed.
Yeah, it's they definitely do the weird meow and then they dash at you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Those I don't mind as much though, because then I just kind of like dash through a barrier and then watch them all just boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, okay, cool. We're just going to keep running around and dashing through things so you can just explode yourselves.
Yeah. That's once you learn their timing, they can be the flame wheels, the little ones can be a little bit less oppressive just because they do that white flash and then whatever they hit next, they boom. And you get used to that. Or if you have Athena Dash, it's fine. But Athena Dash makes everything better.
Yes.
Yeah, Dash makes a lot of things really easy.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Okay. Favorite Boba?
I flip between Thai milk tea and just regular milk tea with lychee jelly and konjac jelly and regular boba. Sometimes aloe or grass jelly. Just basically throw in all the jellies, and that's my favorite boba.
In one cup?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
I love it.
Interesting. That's the cornucopia, as it were.
Huh.
And that's a 50% sugar situation, right?
Yeah, it's definitely 50% sugar.
Too much jelly, otherwise.
We don't go full sugar.
We never go full sugar.
No.
Gosh, I don't know if I even have a favorite boba, which is kind of just, I'm just probably pretty indecisive as a person. So it generally depends on mood. But I do find myself craving an oolong milk tea every now and then. I've sort of stopped getting like the actual boba balls just because it's a lot of chewing. I don't have time for chewing when I could be playing Hades.
What a mood.
It's definitely a game that's hard to like squeeze in food and drink.
So yeah.
I think we're maybe used to more passive games where you have like some downtime. Not Hades.
No. I think the only way I've been able to work around it is to just like clear a couple rooms and then pause before I, you know, right bumper into the next room so I can finally do something else. But yeah. probably oolong milk tea. Although it also changes depending on the season, because if it's hot, then usually like a passion fruit tea with aloe or something, because that's super refreshing.
I love that.
Or just getting like a hot, like regular milk tea when it's colder in California.
Yeah, when it's like below 75.
Yeah, it's when awful. It's so
okay,
cold.
Listen, below 70? We'll nippy.
So, now that we know a little bit more about you, you got to do the most fun part of Hades, which is you won't believe this build, the Build Dragon. Any builds that you had recently that you're like, oh man, this came together and it was awesome?
I have one build that is a potential build that I literally just started before this podcast. Ooh, and
what are you going for?
So there's this duo, the Demeter Aphrodite duo, which is, when I first got it seemed like so bizarre. It's Demeter's cast, which is just like a freezing beam, basically. And this time with the duo, it always aims at you. And so in most
cold embrace.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah. So it's really bizarre. I didn't know like how to use it. The first time I got it, I died instantly because I didn't know like how to focus my damage, and I just kept dashing to enemies and dying because I kept putting myself in trouble. But now I'm running Aspect of Hera as always. And so I'm planning on just like launching it across at Hades, and then he'll go for me, but the laser will go for him, and it's going to be great.
The Aspect of Hera Cold Embrace, I haven't tried that yet, but it seems like it could be good, especially if it lands behind the enemies and then constantly backstabs them.
Mm-hmm. Theoretically, it'll work. We'll see what actually happens in practice.
Yes. Much like an engineer, you must unit test. Yeah. See what happens. Yeah. That's how that goes.
I think it still involved cold fusion. I think it was a lot of Zeus stuff. I think I also had like Athena sailing shot in there, and it was super powerful. So like in the like Seder rooms, like all I had to do was just one cast and then the room would be over. Then I was like, cool, next room. But also the Stubborn Roots duo, which I think is the Athena... Is it Athena Demeter?
Yes.
I think.
Athena Demeter. And so it heals you when you're out of death's defiance.
While you have no death defiance, your health fully recovers. That one came in very clutch. I think I had like 20 health, some ridiculous low health left after Hades. And I was like, I can't believe I survived that. Honestly. I really can't believe it.
But Stubborn Roots does work. It's when you pop that last defiance and you're like, oh, it's going to go. And then you look down, you're at 200 health. It's like, what happened?
I'm like, oh. Huh.
I can just get hit and then retreat and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice because the game tends to really reward you for pressuring and going close to the enemy. But with Stubborn Roots, if you don't have tight deadline on, you can just kind of chill for a little bit and just heal back up and then get your hits in while you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. As for me, I happen to luck into a pretty fortunate build. Eris Seastorm is, I mean, it's trendy, right? That's the speedrun build. But I was trying it out. I'm like, all right, let's push some heat. Let's see what's going on. And Seastorm duo in Tartarus, and then the Poseidon legendary in Asphodel, and then Elysium. I was able to put together cluster rockets, which for those that haven't had it before, you're on the gun and you get rocket as one of your hammers, and then cluster bomb as the other one. You shoot five rockets like a shotgun, and it does a lot of damage.
That.
Yeah, that's it was gorgeous. Really enjoyable. So yeah, cleared that run in 12 minutes 20 seconds in game time, which I felt woo-hoo! Pretty happy about.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that your fastest?
It is. So I've done a 12 minute run on zero heat.
Okay.
Which was like 12 minutes on the dot, but this was on 25 heat, so I felt pretty good about that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It was
not
all right.
Bad, not bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's build bragging for a reason. I gotta But yeah, felt pretty good. And so I ran it back a little bit later, and just it's pretty hard to say no to Eris with Zeus on attack. Pretty hard to say no to that.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, speaking of things that are, this is a bad segue. So that's going to do our build bragging, but we want to talk about our weekly topic. Our topic for the week, none of us are in creative. right? None of us are art or sound or writers, which I think gives us a perspective to appreciate it more from a consumer standpoint. And really, when we talk about Hades, the three of us bond over just how, for lack of a better term, how pretty everything is. And it's the art, and it's the sound, it's the writing, how well-crafted things are. And what can be more fun and pure than just sharing the joy we have about the game with each other and with you? So, let's talk about art first. Character design, but also some of the other art, and just, like, again, how pretty everyone is. Cynthia, of course, you have to lead us into this.
Oh, God. And here I was thinking, oh, my God, where do we even begin with this? I really don't know where to begin with this.
What was the first thing that really struck you that you're like, oh?
I appreciated Zagreus's, what is it, heterochromia? Is that the term for different colored eyes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a nice little detail.
It's a very nice detail. And depending on, you know, his posturing for some of his lines, like the shade, and this is going to make me sound like such a fool, but like the shading, right? So you can see the glow of his red eye. Wow.
It doesn't sound foolish. It's a very particular way to draw your eye to his eyes, and it illustrates the detail. See, that's the thing about the game that I think we can all appreciate, is that the way they make us see what they want us to see, the way that they grab our attention in very particular ways, and you can tell it's been dialed in and polished and tested and honed over and over and over again. There's really something to it. Really, really something to it.
Kind of amazing. That was probably the first thing I noticed. I mean, you know, we're playing as Zagreus. You see him pop up a lot. I love Meg's color scheme. Actually, like, Meg and Electo's color scheming, I just love so much. I mean, I think both of you know this, but I've made my theme in Slack Meg colors.
That's dedication. That's what that is.
I'm using it too, thank you.
You're welcome.
And there's something about, and the three sisters, the blue, green, and red, the primary colors in a way, and the way that they're all contrasted. And appreciating anything about Electo is kind of difficult because she's kind of the worst. But for her to say red blood and be red and all that theming and just the, I don't know, she's out for blood. She's got that red color palette.
And the contrast between her skin tone and the red. Wow, I love it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, I mean, there's so much art to appreciate in the game. Hypo, what drew your attention?
Oh, geez. So I'm going to go back to beta, actually, because for a while, a lot of the characters didn't have full art yet. So I think Nyx, Achilles, a lot of people in the house, like, they just looked like regular shades. And as patches started to trickle in, they eventually got new art. And by the full game, every single character that you talk to has full art. And they're all gorgeous, and it was a cool reveal, and also it was just like all that bisexual panic just like kind of comes up in that moment. It's like, oh God, they're all hot.
The veil is just torn away, and yeah. It's like, oh, everyone is beautiful.
Oh no, oh man. But yeah, that was like, I think the first inclination of like, oh God, the art's so beautiful and everything's so gorgeous. The colors are amazing. Also, the visual effects are just really stunning. I saw one of like the videos that Supergiant posted of their VFX artist Josh Barnett. He did like a whole video of like all the effects he does with I think maybe Dionysus' attack, and like how they distinguish between different attacks, different gods, and their color schemes, their patterns, and how he built all of the VFX themselves. And it's really cool that like they can distinguish between all these gods and their abilities and convey what they do. And I'm just constantly impressed. They tie together the narrative and the gameplay so well that it just gets communicated across in both ways. I love it. Absolutely love it.
It's so good.
So gorgeous.
there's something to be said when you think about the different attacks and boons of the gods, and it's like, yeah, they're all just different colors. It's so simple. Anything that is simple to the player is hard for the developer.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that seems like it's really obvious and clear, and of course it would be this way, takes so much time and energy to dial in. And just getting those colors exactly right and making sure everything looks a little different and you know how it functions just by looking at it, and the little shields around you when you have an Athena ability going, or the big shields if you have like the revenge ability, or the like dainty green dash when you have the Artemis dash, you can see and feel the difference between all of these things, and you know how they function by looking at it. That's not easy to do.
Yeah, I'm reminded of like the when you fight Theseus, then he eventually in his second form gets some boon from the gods, and the god is pretty much randomly generated over time, but it's really obvious which god it is just by like the visual effects, even though they just appear as circles on the ground. Like, you almost immediately know because of the color, the visual effects, what they're doing, even the shapes they take when they are attacking you. It's really cool how it just reads really cleanly.
Yeah, especially if it's Demeter. You know if it's Demeter, because then you take damage and die.
Yeah.
But also, and interestingly, the game always pulls from the gods you don't have boons for.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, if you have their boons, they're not going to fight you.
Yeah.
Yet another clever detail.
I love
Wait a minute.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
Hold on. Oh my god.
We're learning things together.
We're learning things.
Yes. I love this.
Wow, what the heck?
Because, it makes sense when you think about it, but it's the sort of thing that you never notice until you look for it, and you're like, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense.
It's the detail. It's all the small details in this game, I think, are a huge part of why it's so freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
God, my mind is still blown.
Yeah. And there are a bunch of small little details that really stand out. We can talk about the sound design. I mean, we could do this all day.
We could.
It's the sound that it makes when Chaos says, don't use your cast or you take 4 damage, then use your cast. And just hearing the Chaos, whatever, warble, mm-hmm. I guess, whatever it is. Or when you finish a room and you hear the fishing ding. Or yes. All these little things. The sound. The voice acting.
I appreciate the fishing ding. Because sometimes you don't see it because you just happen not to really like dash in that area. And then hear a ding and you're like, wait, what? Is there a fish? Is it time to play Animal Crossing in Hades?
And the fishing is out of place, but somehow makes sense. And also, this is something that Hadija was on the first episode and talked a lot about the visual effects of the rivers and how they're so visually distinct. And it feels like the game is fishing so that you pay closer attention to how each world is different. And really, like, the rivers are fundamentally different, but the game is all about being taken by the Styx, being taken by the river, and really just that the theming is so complete. It's very satisfying.
So good.
Yes. But also voice actors, who are your favorites?
I'm not going to remember names because I just have trouble.
No, I mean, like, the characters.
But,
I don't know about you all. Every time Dionysus talks, I kind of laugh.
I love him. He's just amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
I actually love hearing him talk.
And, like, when you do a trial, and then at the end, he's like, I don't even know what was I mad about, what was going on.
Yeah, he's always just like, all right, that's enough. I think we're good now.
He's just a chill guy having a good time, and I really respect that.
Yeah. Meg's voice actor, though.
It's something about that voice, like, it makes me want her to be disappointed in me.
Yeah.
It's a strange feeling, but, like, you just know she's not going to be happy, but it's like you're aiming for a specific level of disappointment.
Yeah.
It's a special thing.
Yep.
And Tisiphone's voice actress does a lot with very little.
Yeah. So much. I do enjoy listening to Tisiphone, if only just for the murder.
Well, and when she tries to add a second word to a vocabulary, you can see and hear and feel the struggle to not say murder over and over again.
Yep.
It's just, I just love how that's communicated, even though I wish you would do less murdering.
Yeah.
Or punishing murders. It's really unclear what her job is.
I
think that she's...
No, go ahead.
I think she's anti-murder? I think she's anti-murder, right?
I think she's punishing murderers with murder? Something like that?
I think that fits.
Hypocritical? Like, don't do what I'm about to do to you? Or maybe it's poetic justice?
Maybe,
I think,
yeah.
How it works.
Yes. That seems right. About right.
We'll go with that.
And speaking of poetic, the writing. Can we talk about the writing in this game?
Oh
my goodness.
So good. So good.
I constantly think about Chaos and how they're written and how they say so much and yet at the same time say so little, such as when I fish and I get a fish and they comment that it is a fish. And I just really appreciate that they put in the time and effort to tell me that it was a fish. Thank you so much for this gift.
Hypo loves one immortal end.
I sure do.
But it's in Hypnos being low-key oblivious to how much of a, well, kind of a jerk, but he's so cheery.
So cheery. Just wants to let you know that you died to some shield people in Elysium. Maybe you should try dodging next time.
He's not wrong, technically.
He's not wrong.
He's not.
Hypnos is always correct.
He does try to mansplain to Meg a little bit how to beat you, and I don't think it goes over super well with Meg.
No, but again, maybe it's also just Hypnos would like to reach that specific level of disappointment with Meg.
It's a full circle. It all comes together.
There we go.
Yeah. And of course, Dusa. So relatable. So wonderful. Just a being of pure anxiety, but just a total people pleaser.
Her entire storyline was really interesting. I think I didn't even realize until I opened up the codex to her page, but like her romance route, if you can call it that, was just, it was really good. I think it was like probably my favorite part of the entire writing of like all the writing in Hades. It was just so well written. It was explained like love in a different way. And it also like really dove into her whole story without like going into her past as Medusa. Like she has a whole story beyond that now. And I just really love that.
And that super late game story, I'm not going to get too much into it because it's something that gets unlocked with a lot of runs, but it's very real life relatable in a way. The story is kind of about Crunch. And so it's pretty incredible they worked a story about work-life balance into the game. It feels almost like this game is Office Space, except you kill monsters. But that office vibe around the house is something else.
I love that administrative chamber, by the way, where you can just encourage all the shades and they're just vaguely disappointed with your encouragement. I appreciate that small detail.
I do that sometimes, but I think their level of disappointment with me is just not the same as Meg's disappointment with me. And I just no. Do not receive the same joy.
It's more mundane, but I love how the game, like, Hades as a character is just kind of a gruff boss.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the in-game mechanics, you can't summon his employees against him because they're like, I'm not going to piss off Dad. I'm not going to do that. And all the little things that they build this environment around the house where you can tell it's almost like a business, except also there's a lot of nepotism. But it's this bizarre office, except you kill some guys and have magic.
Yeah, I really appreciate how like the storyline went from like the very beginning. It did start out mood-wise as a very dramatic escaping hell, trying to defeat your father, dethrone him kind of vibe, to just like some guy just running through like his dad's basement trying to get out. And eventually they just all become coworkers and refer to each other as coworkers. I love that. It really is just a very mundane office-like setting. It's perfect.
Yeah. The little, when Dusa's like, oh my goodness, we're coworkers now. I was like, yeah, we are. I love you.
It's so like pure in a way. And at the same time, it's not really what you'd expect from a game about fighting out through hell. It seems like it defies convention, but at the same time, it's so well written and the loop is so polished that it really works. But yeah, I think that'll wind us down for this week on the show. So thank you both so much for coming on. Where can we find you if we want to chat? Hypo, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter literally all the time. I'm at HypoPie, H-Y-P-O. Oh God, I can't spell my own handle. H-Y-P-O-P-Y-H. Yeah.
And I learned recently that you just needed more characters, so you just wrote Hypo backwards.
I sure did.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
I think we all learned that day.
I just assumed Pi was your last name or a reference to something or whatever, but
it could be my last name too. We can go with that.
Hypo Pi.
I'm hungry now.
My favorite holiday dessert.
Yes, wow. It's up there. Pumpkin, apple, other?
Hypo.
Wow. Oh.
Flavorful. Yes.
Oof.
It's full of capital letters.
It sure is.
Yes. Cynthia, where can we find you if we want to chat?
On Twitter, I am at SynthPark. I'm boring.
Can you retweet Hades stuff?
Yeah, I do. I do retweet a lot of fan art.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. Also because people send it to me. And I'm like, oh.
And then you retweet it.
Yeah, I do.
The system works.
It does.
And listeners, if you're looking to find the show for future episodes, follow the show at Hidden Aspects on Twitter, subscribe in your podcast client, join our Discord. That'll do it for this week's episode. Until next week, see you in heaven.